performance, Storm Large left no doubt that she can hold her own with our trio of rock legends. Tonight, she performs Cheap Trick Surrender. This is Storm Large.
Mother told me, yes, she told me, I need boys like you. She also told me, stay away, you'll never know what you'll catch. But just the other day, I heard a soldier falling out. Don't go in around. Mommy's alright, daddy's alright, they just seem a little weird. Surrender, surrender, but don't give yourself away. Hey, hey, but what will happen to all those geezer losers of the year?
Seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of July, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day live from the plushly appointed and rocking studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Sir Rick Emerson, radio program.
Thank you.
We have beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970 on this Wednesday. 503-733-2970. You want to be part of the program electronically. My well-scrubbed companions, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. All right, so there you go. That's also my new ringtone, by the way.
That you bought last night like a nerd.
Because I am a target market. Here's me last night. Well, we'll talk more about it later. But, you know, last night did the Rockstar Supernova. Of course, immediately like Gibbons at OHSU, who've been trained like Pavlov's dogs. As soon as the program airs, vote for Storm Large and Rockwood. Okay, you know, just whip out the cell phone. Like, they don't even have to tell us at this point. As soon as Brooke Brooks says, you know, and we'll see you again next week, all you hear is like the all over the bar of cell phones being flipped open at the same time. It's like the Bionic Man sound.
But then none of us knew what number she was.
And then we sat there like idiots, like, does anybody know what number? Oh, Christ. So we had to call Davey, her boyfriend at home, and like, do you know what number it is? And so then we all vote. And then as soon as I vote, you know, it's like a rip, you know, like you get the reply and you get the thing from them. As soon as I vote, then I get the Insta spam from the rocks, you know, from CBS television. Thank you. In my inbox, on my cell phone, would you like to buy a Storm Large ringtone? And of course me, why yes, of course I would. How much is it? It's $4.99. Well, sure. Wham. You hit the buy button, bada bing. So we'll call my phone later on. Just so you can hear what a colossal nerd I am. And in true record industry fashion, Storm gets none of that money. So there you go. Like to think that I'm helping Robin Zander buy a new pool or something, though. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It is Wednesday. We'll do our rock star recap later on. We will not do it now. Because if we do it now, we'll get all sidetracked, and then we'll get even less done than we normally would. This business of having Sarah track all the stuff I'm going to do and then keeping, you know, and then making me, punishing me at the end of the show for bits not gotten to, isn't working out real well. We did that for like a day and a half, and then it just fell by the wayside. So here's what we're going to do. Scotty, I'm going to take a caller here. What we're going to do is we're going to take caller number 5 here, right at the top. We're going to take caller number 5. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Now, here's the thing. You must be able to listen to the program in something approaching its entirety today. I mean, now we have mad love, as you know, for delivery drivers, people that are in and out. Maybe not able to listen to the whole show. You're interrupted, but you got a boss, you got a job, something you got to do. But if you, so as much as we love those guys, you got to be able to listen to more or less the whole show for this. If you are able to listen to more or less the entire program, here's what we're going to do. We'll take caller number 5 if you're able to listen to the whole show. Just for participating in this, you'll get a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show, which happens all this weekend, like 90,000 people. And everybody's asking me if the Blue Angels are there this year, and I don't think they are.
No.
The Blue Angels are not there. But it's damn cool stuff, though.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, it's been a couple years since I've been to an air show. I mean, it's probably, I think it might have actually been before I even, has it been since I moved here? Well, whatever, but it's cool stuff. They got the biplanes and the sky riding and the guy, the wing walkers, and, you know, it's all, I mean, you get to walk up and, like, see the big-ass airplanes right there in the flesh. It's cool stuff. So we got a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show, just for competing in this. Here's what we're going to do, though. We'll take caller 5. We're going to bring caller 5 on. Caller 5 will listen to the overview and forward promote of bits and items of entertainment to be gotten to on today's program. At the end of the show, we will call you back, and you must give a tally of which of those items I have gotten to and which I have not. And I will owe the collective a push-up for each item not gotten to. That's how we're going to do this. That's what we should do. Is this Jay? All right. Hello, Jason.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's loud. Hello, how are you, sir?
Good, how you doing?
Creed loud. I'm fantastic. Are you unemployed or just devoted?
Just devoted.
All right, fantastic. What kind of work do you do, Jason?
Pest control.
Pest control. Is that for like the children that live next door to me that don't know what time to go to bed?
Yeah, we can do that.
Fantastic. All right, here's the thing. Way to play along with the jokes, sir. Well done. Here's the thing. You're gonna sit here and listen as I guarantees many items in today's program. And then at the end of the show, like around 2:50, Scotty will call. He'll get your number. We'll call you back, and we'll find out which of those things I got to and which I did not. And then I will owe the show a push up for each item not gotten to. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So just you hang on. If you got a pen and a paper, sir.
Yeah.
All right. So you just be listening here, and then we'll come back to you. All right. Here's what's coming up today. Coming up later on around 1 o'clock. We have today's Rockstar Recap, Rockstar Supernova episode 3, but I guess the second week. Is that it? The second week?
Let's just say week 2.
All right, week 2 of Rockstar Supernova featuring Storm Large, who continues to kick the snot out of all the competition. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk a little about the World Series of Pop Culture, which I got a bunch of crap from the audience yesterday who felt that I was sandbagging or softballing or whatever that is, that I was using quite, but those were actual questions from the show, weren't they?
I think so. Some of them were questions from the show, and some of them were like bloggers had put them together.
Well, people were questioning my pop culture knowledge. We'll talk more about that. And plus, I think maybe not today, but this is not a guarantee. I'm saying at some point this week, I believe we're going to be talking to one of the guys from PDX 503, which are currently the team in the lead on that show. We got a Geek Watch coming today, Clown Watch. We will talk about, we'll find out what other interviews Scotty J has just sort of saddled me with for no readily apparent reason. He did come in today and reiterate that I will be talking to Kool and the Gang's peeps. Is that tomorrow? That's tomorrow.
So he says.
I'll be doing that.
All except for one.
Well, he just won't answer. Zing! What else? And I think that's it. Oh, and I gotta get a recap on this. I've talked about this whole hideous business of my brother's getting married, and I've already found out that my future sister-in-law ought to be paying for everything anyway, and isn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll recap Scotty J's finest top 5 to date. Because it's hot outside today, even though it's raining. Even though it's sprinkling, it's still hot. And because it's hot where we are, and probably hot where you are, we will recap today's top 5 summer songs of all time. So there you go. That's all coming up. All right, Jason, have you got all that?
Got it.
All right, sir, we'll be calling you back at 2:50. And just for participating in this and being our stenographer, you get a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to put you back on hold. All right, Scotty, make sure we got his info and be good to go. All right. 503-733-2970. Any of those items not gotten to at the end of the program, I'll owe a push-up and so forth. That's all coming up. What else? Well, that's pretty much it. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely, talented, and wet Sarah Dillon.
I think the rain is kicking my allergies in again.
Yeah, no. See, I always thought that rain would be good for allergies because it would suppress.
No, it stirs them up.
See, I don't know anything about how nature works. Yeah. But you see, here's the thing. See, I thought you had, like me, a bicycle outfit. It sounds all fruity, but no, I mean, I have like bike shorts and it. I have the two big bike bags. big, like, big-ass saddlebags for my bike. One holds, like, my briefcase on my work craft. The other one has the outfit I'm not wearing. So I'll bike in, and I got, like, the whatever, like, the Columbia sportswear shorts or whatever, and, like, a T-shirt. And then I bring in, like, my work clothes, get here, change, and then I change back. But you bike here in what you're going to be wearing.
Uh-huh.
See, but that doesn't work out on a day like today, because now you're
all
soaked.
Well, I know. I thought it was just sprinkling, and then I got, like, about 10 blocks away from my house, and it just started downpouring. Well, I was lucky because my roommate Manuel let me borrow his poncho.
See, but here's the question. So Sarah biked to work today in a black T-shirt, and she's wearing the Emerson fall line today. She's got a jeans and a black T-shirt. I think people here probably think that I just wear the same clothes all the time.
No, you dress all weird now. You look all business-like.
But I'm saying every third day, I wear that outfit that you're wearing. Jeans and a black T-shirt. But I have like 100 black, identical Gap T-shirts. But people probably don't think that he's wearing the same clothing as yesterday. He's revolting. But so Sarah bikes here in jeans and a black T-shirt. And her jeans, your jeans are just all like you're walking in the hallway and it's all...
I am freezing right now,
and
yeah.
And you're all soaked and whatnot.
Completely soaked.
But here's the weird thing. And perhaps if you are a scientist or you understand how rain works... I don't mean like how it falls from the sky, but
it
you.
It is a little strange.
Now, you know, Sarah's a woman, and I am a man, and as such, we are built differently. I am, I got a little bit of a gut, but otherwise, if you look at my torso, how do I put this?
Upper torso.
My upper torso. There's nothing that really, I don't have boobs. Women do, apparently. And so, here's the thing, though. So, Sarah biked in. Her jeans are wet because they were exposed to the elements, to the rain. You're wearing a black T-shirt, but you were also wearing a coat, right? Like a jacket?
Yeah, but the coat, I thought it was waterproof, but it wasn't really.
So fully covered?
Yeah, it was fully covered, but I'm, like, my arms were a little bit wet. Like, but this is what I was wearing underneath it. So this is so.
But here's the weird thing, is that the rest of your T-shirt is dry. It is only your bosom area that is wet.
It's very true.
Now, you're not nursing a baby when we're not looking, are you?
No.
So, if you understand how science works, maybe you can tell us about that. Because Sarah biked in the rain with a coat on. That's the thing, with a jacket on. The rest of her T-shirt is dry. Her bosom area of the T-shirt, not her actual... Well, I don't know about her actual, but...
Okay.
I'm saying the bosom area of your T-shirt is wet. And it is intriguing to me, because...
It really did look like somebody with wet hands just, like, grabbed my chest.
Do with that what you will. But the weird thing is we sat in the office today, like, actually talk. Like, how did that happen? And, like, actually trying to dissect the physics of it. So if you know. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley working on the following stories.
Well, the Army will end Halliburton's exclusive Iraq deal after $1 billion seems to be misplaced. Robert Novak admits it was Karl Rove who tipped lots of the CIA agent's identity. Clowns attack Seattleites in the public park, and another crazy man with a chainsaw terrorizes the public.
It's going to be the best day ever. It's 503-733-2970. So there you go. There's that. And, so we'll talk about Rockstar Supernova. We'll do that at, like, 1, because then we got, who do we have? Ed McCarthy?
Mm-hmm. At 1:30. We don't have anyone at 12:30.
Should we talk about that? You may remember, I'm just going to recap very briefly, because I don't like the audience to be excluded from things. I don't like to be one of those guys that the audience, as you know, we're all family here. We're all one big family. And so you all know what goes on here, both on and off the air. So you remember last week there was some unpleasantness with Laura Caviezel, who's the guest booker at CNN, because we felt that, she works at CNN. Which is, as far as I... The first
but like
N,
a professional, I called her and I made nice.
The first N does stand for news.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would think that she would keep us in the loop about breaking stories. For example, when I called Gary Baumgarten, I wouldn't be all jocular, you know, unaware that somebody was trying to blow up Manhattan that day. Apparently that got back to her boss. Apparently Gary Baumgarten wrote a rather scathing email.
And didn't just send it to her, but sent it to the entire company.
CC'd everybody in the company down to the janitor.
Maybe that was a mistake. You can do that easily even here.
Yeah. So I almost sent something to VH1 one time here. Because VH1, up until like last week, they were on our internal mail list because we were all on the same company. I tried to send something to it's like some guy at KUFO, and I nearly sent it to like the head of programming at VH1. It was all very embarrassing. But so Gary Baumgarten, he CC'd everybody at CNN. Laura Caviezel, Jessica Panagas, so all angry. And so then Sarah calls up today to book a guest. And man, it was like 20 minutes on the phone with Laura. And then they yelled at me. Just so you know.
And then she,
anyway, so there you go. So, apparently, Apparently, it's our fault for not being, quote, on the ball enough.
Yeah, she assumed that I'd be on the ball to know something, breaking news that just happened in New York.
Oh, it's not really. Like we're busy doing a program.
Did she mention me by name?
No.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah, no, it's she didn't mention Tim, so it's not a death match.
Tim just looked really scary right then.
Do I have... Is there trash that needs to be taken out? And so there you go.
Don't make me come over there.
We will... Okay. So we will not have Gary Baumgart today. He's apparently sick. We will have... Ed McCarthy. Be joining us on this very fine radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, the Army is discontinuing that controversial multi-billion-dollar deal with Halliburton to provide logistical support and feed the troops. Well, it could cut on the firm's dominance of Government Contracting Interactive. Probably do it under a different name anyway. Under the deal, Halliburton, of course, had exclusive rights to provide the military with a wide range of work, including keeping the soldiers fed, sheltered, not doing a good job of that, and communication with family and friends back home.
Who is the company that's supposed to be providing them with the body armor and so forth so they don't get shot and killed? Who's that company?
It doesn't say.
Oh,
here.
That's the military. Can we fire them and get somebody else?
Well, government audits turned up more than $1 billion in questionable costs.
It's hard to believe.
I know. So, which included a $45 case of soda, double billings on meals, and allowing troops to bathe in contaminated water.
There you go.
Meanwhile, Karl Rove was one of Robert Novak's sources for that 2003 disclosure of the CIA agent's identity.
I am so confused about this. Hey, let's call Laura and get Bob Costas. Oh, wait, no. Let's call Laura and see if we can get Gary. No. Let's see if we can get Lisa. No. No one's at CNN today. Wasn't that what Laura told us?
Laura said that everyone took off already and that Gary Baumgarten was sick.
Do you suppose they're just ducking us now? Is that the thing? Are they just trying to avoid us?
Oh, don't say that.
How is it that everybody could be gone from CNN? They're a 24-hour network.
She did say it was a very slow day.
Mm. Yes, it sounds like a slow day. What with all these big news stories Tim just rattled off one after the other? Doesn't sound like it. Wait, hold on. Oh, yeah. It is a slow news story. What with this two-page prep sheet? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different stories they're apparently covering today. And that's just from this morning. Yeah, it seems likely that everybody would have just gone home. Anyway, I don't understand this Karl Rove thing, and if I try to weigh in on it, I'm just going to look like a tool, and I'm going to sound like some nitwit, doesn't know what he's talking about. But So Valerie Plame, blah, 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 long story short, she was undercover. Mm-hmm. Her name got leaked, apparently in retribution because her husband was one of the guys that was pointing out that the Bush administration was lying about that yellow cake uranium, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so somebody, like, squealed that she was undercover. Donnie Brasco style. Somebody blew her cover. And it was Novak that did it, and everybody was like, well, Karl Rove leaked it to him. And he denied it, and he denied it, and everybody denied it. And now he's admitting it.
Yes.
So I don't understand why...
Well, there must be a book involved here.
But I don't understand why somebody isn't going and locking Karl Rove up right now.
Well, because he's Karl Rove.
I don't know. Well, okay. Well, there
why
you
is
go.
Dick Cheney running around loose?
Shooting people in the face and whatnot.
I mean, he would be in prison in most countries by now.
It's true. I just don't understand. I don't understand. It's all very confusing.
That's
right.
Why it's useless to vote in elections.
There you go.
Save yourself a stamp.
By the way, that's from the news department of AM 970 Solid State Radio. There you go. That is the official attention, Dan. That is both news and opinion sandwiched into one right there. Fantastic. All right, let's excerpt that out. I'm surprised that they don't have us do those tours where school children come through and watch a radio show being done. Uh-huh. They really could learn so much more from us. Well, okay. We should tape some of those The More You Know things and have those play on the other radio stations.
I think it's a good idea.
Maybe not. Here's Tim Riley.
A University of Oregon graduate student will have her federal charge of interfering with a flight crew dropped if she refrains from communicating with President Bush like this was going on in the first place and completes other steps in an 18-month program laid out by a federal magistrate in Utah. Here's what happened. Bogdana Gustava was arrested in January aboard United Airlines Express flight from Eugene to Denver and was diverted to Salt Lake City because of her behavior. Bogdana became agitated, assaulted a passenger who asked to be moved to another seat and lunged toward the cockpit while shouting, I have a baby named Jesus. I was impregnated by my uncle, and President Bush is behind it all.
That's like three great stories in one sentence.
When the plane made an emergency landing in Salt Lake City, authorities said she tried to run from airport police and claimed there was a bomb aboard the plane.
Well, they should just keep her in Salt Lake.
They should have shot her there.
That was Tim Riley in the news department who said that, speaking on behalf of all of us. No, it's at Salt Lake. People in Salt Lake are predisposed to believe such stories anyway, so there you go. But impregnated by Jesus? Sure. We believe you.
Well, Bogdana is a native of Bulgaria who failed to leave her native customs where they belong and holds a doctorate in mathematics and is currently studying physics at the University of Oregon.
How long could the mathematics course in Bulgaria really be?
She's been hospitalized in a psychiatric ward at the University of Utah Hospital.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll throw in a barrel full of ice cubes like they do with everyone else there. She must also surrender her passport for 18 months and may not return to her native Bulgaria.
Bulgarian mathematics. Your village has three operable huts. The UN burns down one. All right. Sorry. Well, there you go.
And square stone tires on the oxpods.
Fantastic. See what those CNN people are missing out on by not being part of today's program?
It's their own fault.
What are we talking to Ed McCarthy about? Oh, because the sex offender, they've got the sex offender thing in Georgia, too.
Not as good as ours.
No, it's really not. But
we have the Cadillac of sex offender websites here.
No, it's true, but I...
By which all others are measured.
And we're also talking to him about the Chicago subway.
Oh, because, yeah, it collapsed, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all very bad. No, apparently, listen to this. Lawyers are challenging a state law in Georgia barring sex offenders from living near school bus stops. I smell the dirty. This is why I'm so conflicted about being a member of the ACLU, because you know that they're behind. Every time fantastic thing the ACLU does, it's like they have to do something that makes me question my donations to them. I am, by the way, in the words of my—I don't even know if I have it here. In the word, no, it's in my desk. I am, in the words of George W. In the words of George Press. No, is it Prescott? Herbert,
Walker, Bush.
Yes. Well, that's the whole joke is ruined now. But there was a whole thing where George Bush the first said, like, Michael Dukakis is a card-carrying member of the ACLU, and everybody booed. I am a card-carrying member of the ACLU, by the way, but I don't know that they're behind this, but I suspect that they are. Every time there's some lawsuit that seems to fly in the face of common sense, you know that they're there. Anyway, so we'll talk to him about that. Because somebody sent me some stuff from the Oregon sex offender site that's very confusing to me, so we'll talk about that. Because if there's anybody that can clear that up, it's our audience. Here's Tim Riley.
A Southwest Washington man will appear in court today for an alleged sexual assault and an airplane charge. Federal agents arrested Glenn Wood at PDX.
Glenn Wood.
Monday morning after he allegedly attacked a woman on a flight from Hawaii to Portland. They have not said that the woman was a passenger or an airline employee. They have confirmed that the victim and Wood did not know each other.
You know, airline employees aren't as hot as they used to be anyway. Have you noticed stewardesses have all gotten really old and wooden looking?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all look very, they all look very leathery. So they were, you know, made out of some, they were made out of like an old belt.
Time for a clown watch.
Here's your clown watch, Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Fantastic. How could CNN not want to be a part of this?
Well, for several nights last month, a group of thugs with black hooded sweatshirts pulled tight over their heads and many in angry clown makeup have terrorized visitors.
Angry clown makeup. Mm-hmm. How does that differ from normal clown makeup?
I don't know. I guess it's in the eyebrows.
I was going to say the eyebrows pointed down and like
the
weird
Joan
cartoony.
Crawford eyebrows. What does that look like? They'll kill you.
Get the axe.
Well, they terrorized visitors at Seattle's Pierce County Fort Stellacom Park. The group cried, "Woo woo, Jigaloo," as they assaulted park visitors with machetes and fists. They stole cell phones, cash, and wallets, and even threatened to cut the victims' heads off. So far,
what kind of clowns are these?
I don't know. So far, two men and a woman have been charged with robbery and assault for their alleged roles in the string of attacks. A prosecutor said the suspects claim to be Jigaloos, a subculture that has developed among fans of the rap metal group The Insane Clown Posse.
I want you to get in your mouse and get out of here.
They are known to dress in black and wear white clown-like face paint. According to a statement on the website, What is a juggaloo.com? The subculture preaches racial tolerance and belief in a religion.
In addition to the attacking with machetes.
The victim suffered broken jaws in the attacks.
I'm sorry.
Another was kicked in the head, and a woman said her attackers demanded she take off her trousers.
I'm not laughing at the actual... I guess I kind of am. It's...
So luckily, nobody has been decapitated yet.
No, but I mean... Look, I know it's horrible to be attacked with a machete and to have a clown tell you to take off your trousers.
The insane clown posse is often identified by the symbol of a laughing clown carrying a meat cleaver or a hatchet.
And a woman's trousers. No, but I mean, that's a story to tell. You know what I mean? That's, look, everybody's got the whole, yeah, I was mugged one time. Or, you know, the, yeah, I was in an accident one time, guy ran a red light. How many people out there, how many stories out there are you able to tell in your personal life that involve a clown and a machete and your trousers being taken off and your jaw being broken? None is probably how many. So these, you know, when all of the trauma wears off, they're going to be glad this happened. There you go.
Meanwhile, visitors advised to visit the park only when it's open because it has become a popular hangout for these juggaloos to drink and smoke marijuana after the closing time.
For machete-wielding clowns. Oh, you know, and the best part is so often these stories happen far from home, like in Virginia or...
This is Seattle. You know, can drive up there.
Yeah, no, this is right here. They'll be spreading here soon. All right, there you go. Are you at that website?
Yeah.
You're at What is a Juggalo?
Yeah, whatisajuggalo.com.
Yes.
Everybody go there.
Yeah. Let's all become juggalos.
They're accepting applications.
Okay. You know, have you ever listened to the Insane Clown Posse? Oh, it's just the worst.
No, it's the worst.
It's the worst music you could possibly imagine. And look, I don't care if that makes me sound old or not. It's terrible. It's the worst music I've ever heard in my life.
No, it was terrible 5 years ago, and it's terrible now.
Yeah. Worse than Rufus Wainwright?
There's your clown watch.
I thought that was the world's worst.
We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. The Rick Emerson Show. Oh, you asked for it, though. We all heard it. Like, we're like, that's genius. We need Ed McGurty's laugh.
Play it again.
No, that's what we're going to play from now on whenever a listener says something that we don't think is funny. Fantastic. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It makes me laugh. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up at 1, we'll have a Rockstar recap. Kristen from accounting, who's the official stenographer of Rockstar Supernova. Did you see they're being sued by that other Supernova band?
Yep.
No.
Well, there's some other band in California. Bands run into this all the time. Where it's like, you know, because there's only so many band names. You know what I mean? I'm always amazed when a band comes up with a name that is sort of obvious that it turns out no one was using. I know, and no knock on them, but I know there used to be another band called the Altar Boys.
Still is. It's actually, there was some jazz band called the Altar Boys that were playing at the Jazz Fest this weekend.
And there was a Christian rock band at one point. I know that because what's his name, Greg on NRK, told me, 90, whatever they're called, told me about that.
Yeah.
He's like, is Nate in that Christian rock band, the Altar Boys? I'm like, yes, he is. But apparently Supernova, who is this band, everybody, I mean, look.
They could find a better name than that anyway.
Well, they never even trademarked it. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and it's like they haven't, I mean, look, I'm not trying to root for the big guy over the little guy, but I'm saying, like, they kind of had their thing, which was like a decade and a half ago, where they had a song on the Clerks soundtrack. So, well, whatever. You know, but here's the thing. Here's why I don't feel bad for them, because they're going to get money and attention out of it at the end, which is more than they have now. So, you know, they'll figure it out. But anyway, so we'll do Rockstar recap. At the 1 o'clock, Kristen from accounting is our stenographer there. She took a lot of notes. We'll have some sound from that and so forth. What else? We'll talk about the sex offender stuff. Ed McCarthy will be joining us. And Jen Lane will presumably be in the studio with us. And we'll revisit Scotty J's finest top five so far. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, a man who tried to burst into a pub with a revving chainsaw has been banned from every pub in Britain. Terrified customers dove for cover as drunken Glen Harbor went berserk after being thrown out. But the manager and the chef barred the door to stop him from getting back into the Galaxy pub. He's 30 years old. He avoided jail by being sentenced to 2 years of anger and alcohol management courses.
All right, there you go. Don't you keep waiting for... Look, I know this sounds like a stand-up comedy thing, you know, like I spilled spot remover on my dog and he's gone. You know, one of those. But don't you... Seriously, don't you... I mean, that's what this... I know that's what this sounds like.
I need to end McCarthy laugh.
So can see, it's addictive. Now you have to have Ed all the time. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Ian. Let me... What's another one? What's another thing like that? The, Yeah, I bought some scentless perfume, and, Okay. No, it's all for, like, bad Stephen Wright-type material. But, but don't you keep waiting... Don't you keep waiting to read a story where violence is broken out at an anger management meeting? Don't you? I mean, don't you keep it at five killed at anger management meeting? Somebody's here, some hack comic out there. You just take that, make it your own. Do some zany fake news thing and like 16 killed at anger management meeting. You know what it is? You know what makes it gold? It's the final one at the end where he inflects upward. It's sort of the ha 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 ha, you know, right at the end where he just gives it. Here's Tim Ryan at the City Desk.
The European Union has fined Microsoft a stunning $357 million for defying a 2004 antitrust suit.
I think it's great that Microsoft continues. Yes, I'm saying this. I think it's great that Microsoft just continues to ignore them. We're going to fine you, and then, all right, they go back to work. No, seriously, we're going to fine you. Uh-huh, got it, okay. And then they just continue to ignore it and go about their business. That's great.
Well, Microsoft's Brad Smith says they have to respect the commission and its process, but they don't believe any fine, let alone one of any magnitude, is appropriate.
This issue has never been about compliance. It's about clarity. Having gotten clarity from the commission in April, we've met every deadline since then, and our top priority is to meet the final deadline 2 weeks from now.
Three people charged with stealing trade secrets of Coca-Cola are pleading not guilty to conspiracy charges. One of the women, Wanda Jackson, was routinely told... Wanda Jackson was routinely told to take the documents home with her.
The documents that she's purported to have been taking home, she took home documents on a regular basis all that year and was encouraged by her boss to take home documents, to become more familiar with her group.
Please steal our secrets. But then again, Williams said she didn't take any trade secrets home.
She's not taking anything home that she didn't have access to. She didn't open up any safes, get any keys, decode any locks, evade any cameras.
Doesn't this story sound like it's from 1985? Who takes home documents? Who has documents now to take home and safes and so forth? Everything's just on a computer. I thought, when you said Wanda Jackson, I thought of that. Isn't that the pop star from the 60s? The Let's Have a Party? Girl, didn't
I don't remember back that far.
Okay.
I'll have to ask some of our friends at the station next door when I see them.
I think, I don't even think they play stuff from the, you mean K-Hits?
Yeah.
How far back do they go?
They're all 60s and 70s.
It's mostly 70s, though. Do they play stuff?
No, well, I see their billboards every day. It's 60s and 70s.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, okay. Miss Team Player.
All right. 60s, or is there a certain startup? I would think the British Invasion.
It's Sarah talking to CBS Corporate. I listen to your many prime radio properties. Whatever. There is that song, though, never mind. I don't really care. I'm beyond caring. Blah, 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 blah. Back to Microsoft. I think it's great, and I urge Microsoft to continue to ignore the European Union. We don't like Microsoft. I'm not going to get started on my whole thing. I made some comment about Microsoft last week, talking about Bill Gates or something, and the guy said, it's unfair that Microsoft, when I buy Windows, it comes bundled with Internet Explorer, because I know it's physically impossible to put another browser on your computer. Look, here's the thing. I'm looking at my computer right now. I'm not using Internet Explorer. No one in this building does. I didn't want to use Internet Explorer. You know what I did? I went online, got a different browser. Do the same, pounds. Quit your bitching. Jesus. Don't want to use their products. Don't use their goddamn products. Shut your hole. It makes me angry. Like it's,
really?
No, I'm just saying, like you're incapable somehow of going online and getting a different product to use. I mean, just shut your keg hole. No one cares. The whole thing makes me irritated. Tim, you don't use Microsoft products as a general rule.
I do have a laptop.
You have a, okay, you have a laptop, but you also have a Mac?
I do.
You use, what do you edit with, audio-wise? GarageBand or something, or what do you
use? No, I edit with Odyssey.
Okay, and that's an Apple product.
Yes.
It is not made by, see how easy that is?
I also use it on my laptop.
All right, well, I'm just saying, but see how easy. He wanted to buy something not made by Microsoft. He went to the goddamn store and bought it.
And I only use things that are free.
Or stolen. Mostly the free part. There's Tim Riley.
A paleontologist digging in northern Australia have found fossil evidence of several new species, including a killer kangaroo. This flesh-eating marsupial would have lived... A flesh-eating kangaroo.
That was one of those, like, delayed reaction things. I was looking at my email, I'm like, I wonder what amusing things people have sent to me. And then I heard something about a kangaroo that eats flesh.
This marsupial would have lived between 10 and 20 million years ago.
What do kangaroos eat now?
Kangaroo food? I'm not sure what they...
Yeah. Yes, kangaroo snaps.
If I had a PetSmart, I'm not sure.
Sausages. Well, they eat something now. And it ate what? It ate other animals?
I guess, and people. The research team has unearthed evidence of a large carnivorous bird dubbed the Demon Duck of Doom. So okay. Far, they found 20 previously unknown creatures, all pretty dangerous.
Where is this? I don't know.
Australia.
Okay, first it was with kangaroos, and then they found a Demon Duck of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Were all these animals hiding out somewhere?
Professor Archer says the killer kangaroos would not have been like the creatures of today. They were meat-eating kangaroos with long fangs and galloping kangaroos with long forearms, which did not hop. They walked on dry land.
Okay.
There are many other potentially frightening creatures to be unearthed.
Yes.
Very huge birds, more like ducks, earning the name Demon Ducks of Doom. Some at least may have been carnivorous. The team now says the study of fossils in detail to see where they came from is now going on. It's all because of the changing climate.
All right, everything is the fault.
So these are all coming back. Thank you, Elgo.
So everything is the fault of me driving a Ford Focus.
Exactly, you're going to tear the flesh right off you. Quack, 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 quack.
Why would you do that? That's fantastic. And, you know, here's the thing. Because I was raised by the television, as my friend Todd would say, because when you talk about kangaroos, I don't know if it's the same. Let's just do a little quiz here. When Tim starts talking about blah, 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 kangaroos, what do we all picture? I wonder if it's just me.
The video of the kangaroo beating up the host on that Australian TV show.
No. I picture that Warner Brothers cartoon that's always beating the snot out of Sylvester. You know what I mean? Where it's like Sylvester has the mouse, and he chases the mouse in, and it's like the mouse and the kangaroo are in the same room. Anybody know what I'm talking about here?
No.
How do you not know what I'm talking about? there's nothing.
Those memories have just left my mind.
They've been shoved out by other more pertinent knowledge.
They have been, yeah.
Not in my head. There's nothing else. There's been no new important knowledge to take the place of that. No, there's the Warner Brothers cartoon, and there's the big kangaroo with the boxing gloves. And so that's what I'm just picturing, that Warner Brothers cartoon with boxing gloves and, like, huge fangs and, like, human blood dripping from it. Well, let's move on. Here's Tim Riley.
A white-skinned alligator that lived out of public view until now is now on display at the South Carolina Zoo.
Oh, it's an albino alligator. Yeah, I've heard of it.
You don't see them very often.
No, they exist. They exist, though, yeah.
It was seized by wildlife officials nearly 3 years ago, and three men were arrested for taking it to Hilton Head Island Pond. They're awaiting trial. The zoo is holding the alligator as evidence.
Well, that's creepy that they were on their way to a pond with it. What should we do with this alligator? Is there a pond around here? Imagine being in a pond, and then there's a huge albino white alligator that charges you. The alligator wouldn't even need to kill you. You would die. I mean, imagine...
I don't think people would take it seriously if it was white.
I think people would be more freaked out by it if it was an albino alligator, if it was white and had, like, pink eyes and...
Oh.
Do you know any albino people? They're freaky. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to kill you.
I just remember the movie Powder. That's as close as I've gotten.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Yeah, that kid would kill you. Mm-hmm. How have I got onto albino people? Albinos are people! No, there's an albino girl that lives in my neighborhood. I see her all the time. Do you ever do this? Do you have people in your neighborhood that it seems like you are constantly seeing? It's like you go to the store, there she is. Go to the whatever, buy stamps, there she is. I'm at the Fred Meyer, there she is. It's constantly. And I don't think I'm just noticing her because she's an albino. It's bizarre. It's like either I'm subconsciously stalking her or she's subconsciously stalking me. What was I going with this?
Albinos, alligators, kangaroos.
I had a friend of mine in high school. No, my friend of mine in high school was an albino girl. And not just pale, like full-on no melanin, albino. We would, it was both sad and great because she was kind of a misfit, not just because of that, but just kind of, you know, kind of a dirtbag kind of girl anyway. And we were all kind of like losers together. And so but she reached that age where she wanted that, you know, she liked being scary. And so we would just walk through the mall and like children would, you know, like parents would pull their children away from her, which was fantastic. But picture that. You're in a pond. You're like, let's go to the old swimming hole, Huck, you know, or whatever, and you're down there. Maybe it's just getting dark. Maybe the sun has just gone, it's sunk down behind the hills. It's all inky blackness. You're in the pond. You're dangling your feet. Perhaps you're looking for a crawdad or whatever it is you're doing, stitching a raft, whatever it is you're doing. And you're there, and then suddenly you hear a swishing around, and you look over, and there's a giant white alligator in the pond with you, coming right at you. Your heart would just explode. You'd just be dead before it got to you. It's true. It's 503-733-2970. Hello, is this Jerry?
Yes, it is.
How can I help you, Jerry?
Is there any chance that that albino alligator could have just been a mistaken sighting of Edgar Winter? Could mistake the overbite.
I think that's a little baby boomer humor.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Baby boomer humor.
Boomer.
McRib is back. This is okay. Now you know.
Oh, here we go.
What?
Oh, no, nothing.
What?
I'm ready for your brilliant idea.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Okay, now you know we've talked many times about our aborted Lots of Laughs prep service. That's Laughs, L-A-F-F-S, of course. And we were going to do a prep service that was retarded. And then,
the show was canceled.
And then
that was about that time, wasn't it?
And then they said, like, and then they decided our humor was not even amusing enough for our own listeners.
Not even from
anybody else's.
Not even from 9 to noon.
When no one was listening. No, and then we never did it. We were going to create a fake comedy. I was like merging forwards. A comedy prep service. And then we were going to, like, you know, syndicate it and see if we can get anybody to use it. Lots of Laughs. There ought to be one called Boomer Humor. That would sell. And Decay Hits.
That was hosted by Bill Cosby, who's 69 today.
There you go. And that would Boomer Humor. And it would just, it would be, you know, like a relatable humor for today's aging, you know, whatever, 60-something, however old they are now. That's a great idea. Boomer Humor. That's funny stuff. I don't know what a sample joke would be. I guess there you go. Lots of Edgar Winter jokes. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, hundreds of the nation's... Oh, this is Red State News. Hundreds of the nation's best horseshoe throwers are gathering in Gillette, Wyoming for the National Horseshoe Pitchers Association Tournament. Among the competitors in the two-week event that began Monday will be the 11-time men's world champion, Alan Francis of Defiance, Ohio.
These places all sound so advanced. Gillette, Wyoming, Defiance, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. But every time I was looking for a job many years ago, there was always an opening in Gillette, Wyoming.
Oh, man. Have you ever... Now, we could talk about that, actually. Just, like, places that there were openings that you did not go to.
And
Gillette, Wyoming?
And you were always tempted. Yep.
Anywhere else?
So.
Were you offered a job anywhere in radio that you did not take?
I was never offered a job in radio anywhere.
That's fantastic.
No tapes, no resume. Waste of time. Learned that many years ago.
It's fantastic.
Save the posting.
Scott, are you listening? Why bother? I remember being really young and stupid, though, and thinking, naive enough to think that you actually got jobs out of R&R Magazine. And in radio, they have these things called blind box ads. And a blind box ad means you don't know where you're applying. It'll be really vague. It'll say, I don't even know, does R&R even exist anymore?
Yeah, I saw it out there. It's been sold to somebody. Nobody really reads it anymore.
Oh, Billboard bought R&R.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, R&R is a trade magazine, radio and records. And in the back, there's like, you know, classified ads. And it's usually
like six.
It's usually guys looking for work. It's like talented gabber seeks, you know, home for whatever.
Looking for my next professional challenge.
Yeah. Cannot pay rent. Always outstanding child support. Must have job. Cash preferable. Anyway, but you'll see these blind box ads, and it won't say the station or the place. It'll say, like, top 25, you know, sports talker seeks energetic drive time host, you know, hot phones a plus or something. It's crap that doesn't, you know, must have 10 years major market experience. And you don't know what the station is. They'll give you a hint, like they'll say Midwest sometimes, or they'll say top 20 market. But what market is Portland even these
24.
Days?
24.
I thought it was 26. Is it 24?
24. Are we top 25 now?
Mm-hmm.
Booyah!
Yeah, always have been.
That's what I'm talking. Really? Is that true? I thought we fell for a while.
No, we didn't fall anywhere.
All right.
TV is a little bit bigger. TV is 23. You worked in market number 23. You actually dropped down.
Well, no, wait.
By
how can
here.
The TV market size be higher than the radio market? That doesn't make any sense.
I know it doesn't. But that's the way it is.
Making crap up. Anyway, but blind box ads. And so you'll apply and you don't know where it is. Speaking of which, and everybody claims to have had this experience, but I worked with a guy that this happened to because I saw it. I held it in my hands. I worked with a guy who applied for his own job. He was about to be replaced, and they didn't know it. A guy, I won't give his last name, but a guy named Alan, who none of you know. It's not here. It's not Alan Davis. I will say that. No, but he... But, and think of how awkward that is in, like, 80 levels. He's you know, he's got a more... He was a morning host. He's got a morning show gig, and he's like, you know, looking through R&R. Oh, this looks like a good gig. Top 50 market mornings. I can do that. I'll leave this crap job behind. So he puts together his whole packet. His headshot, resume, air checks, you know, like a videotape of him going like, please hire me! And puts it in a manila envelope, drops it in the mail to some station. Again, he has no idea what station it is. He just knows it's like a top 50 market. Drops it in the mailbox. And like 5 days later, the operations manager calls me into the office. He's like, hey, do you want to see something funny? And he reaches into his desk, and he pulls out, and he's like, Alan just applied for his own job. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, we're getting ready to blow that guy out. We placed a blind box ad, and he applied for it. He doesn't know he's about to be fired.
Oh.
So when they fired him, they totally brought him in, and they're like, hey, Alan, how'd that blind box response go? And he's like, what? I'm not applying for other jobs. And they're like, sure you are. Look, you applied for your own job. You're fired. It's fantastic. It's genius. It's Tim Riley, the city desk.
Now, time for the Geek Watch.
It's your Geek Watch.
And I've had it prepared for like a half an hour, too. I was so on the ball.
Research Unlimited, remember, you used to just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right. Your face, Sarah Dillon.
We were wondering if the quantum flux...
There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Well, Microsoft claims it'll add retro video games as part of its offerings in Xbox Live Arcade. The first one will be Frogger, costing the user
That's
400 Microsoft
Why are they adding
points.
That to chick games? Sarah's face got the... She,
That's
Sarah just
all
made
I play
the,
when I go to ground control.
Sarah totally made the make rib his back face just now.
Yeah. Over the next 5 weeks, the Redmond company plans to release a game every Wednesday, and every game Microsoft has updated the classics to support better graphics, as well as creating new ways to play through the company's Xbox Live service. Xbox Live Arcade has been a surprising success for the company. With over 5 million free trial games downloaded, over 1 million actually purchased, Microsoft said that use of the service has been across a broad segment of customers, including hardcore gamers and beginners.
It's just so many of those games don't hold up, though. I don't know if Frogger holds up, but I will admit that I played Frogger. It is largely a chick game, but I played that. Centipede is also strangely a chick game, and I think it's because of the color scheme. I think it's because the game is in a lot of pastels, and so girls were attracted to it. What else? And Tetris, of course. Frogger's okay. It's so many of the... Are these arcade games, do they say, or are they home games? Like
these are...
600?
Apparently, these are home games. This is a live box, live arcade.
All right. Well, whatever. When they bring River Raid back, that's what I'll be excited about. River Raid, which is one of the most fantastic of all Atari 2600 games. And I know there's the ROM, you can do the emulator thing, but I'm talking about getting it on the Xbox. River Raid, that was a game. Alright, and blah da da blah, Frogger. There's your Geek Watch.
By Graptar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Mitsubishi, the maker of the Panasonic brand, says it hopes to start selling the world's largest plasma television by early next year.
It measures 2.4 meters by 1.4 meters. I don't know how big that is.
How many cubits is it, though? That's really the... Matt Peterson, by the way. Here's something, another big, huge, gaudy status symbol that you can buy for your home.
It's a 103-inch panel. It's bigger than the double-size mattress.
For love of God.
Almost as heavy as an upright piano.
103 inches. It's either great or terrible or some mixture of the two. I think Lycus has that, actually. Not the 103 one, but I think he has the 100-inch. I know Stern does. Stern's got the full-on thing where it, like, sinks into the ceiling. And then when he presses the button, like, the ceiling panel, like, the panels open, and it, like, lowers out of the ceiling. That's what I'm talking about. I think Lycus has the 100-inch. Now, here's what I don't... Now, is this a plasma?
Yes, it is.
See, and I know that nobody here knows the answer to this, but I don't know the difference between the plasma and the LED in terms of, like, which one you want.
I don't know.
One of those things that I've been kind of... Like, I'm not going to get them right away or something, but I've been sort of toying with, you know, in the future. That's on the list of stuff I want to get someday. And I just, there's all the plasma versus, don't call about it now. Just send me an email. All right. Well, should we break?
We could.
We've got Rockstar Recap.
Let's do it.
Here's what's coming up. We'll do Rockstar Recap at 1. Later on, we got Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. We'll talk more about the sex offender list. I got some, somebody's been the weirdest thing from the Oregon sex offender list. We'll get to that. And Jen Lane will be here, top five, all that. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there.